Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, friends. Hey, just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you're going to find all of their interviews and highlights archived and indexed online at ExitCoachRadio.com or on iTunes at iTunes.ExitCoachRadio.com. My next guest is David Weigelt from Immersion Active. He's the president and CEO. David has written an incredible book called Dot Boom, Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. I've read every word of it. I'm looking forward to interviewing him. And we're going to talk about Immersion Active, which is the digital agency for the mature markets. We're going to talk about marketing to boomers and seniors online. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Pleasure to have you on the show, David. And so, we talked several months ago, and a lot is happening and has been happening in this marketplace. It's a fascinating transformation as boomers take to the airwaves and the digital devices, and you're right in the thick of it. So tell us, if you will, tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you started Immersion Active.
Yeah, sure. I got out of college in 95. We've been in business for 16 years, so I really only had a couple of jobs before Immersion Active. But they were both related and to where we ultimately have ended up as a company. The first, I was at a large national association. One of my first jobs right off the bat was convincing our CEO that this thing called the web was going to be around for a while and helping them move from a CompuServe bulletin board to about a 40,000-page website. Mm. At the same time, early on, being married with a young family, I had a second job as an adjunct professor for about 10 years. And again, I was, as the internet was just becoming commercialized, I was teaching some introduction to the internet classes and internet marketing classes, and just had some experiences there that, you know, as we talk today, you'll see were relevant to where we ended up. But ultimately, about, 4 years out of college, my business partner and I, we both went to college together. Like a lot of young guys, I suppose we decided we could do it better than our employers. And so we actually used a service I know you guys have highlighted, SCORE, to develop a business plan. And we went out in 1998, August 1st of 98, and started our own digital agency. Do you want me to tell you a little bit more?
Yeah, no, that's so. You already said a couple things there that I like a lot, and that is, most businesses are started by technicians who are convinced that the people they're working for aren't doing as well as they could. Let's put it that way. And yeah. Second is, you sought professional help through this incredible organization called SCORE that's 11,000 strong now. It's a tremendous resource for small business, and so that was the beginning of it. What was your vision at that point?
You know, I think probably like most people getting into the digital space at the time, we just saw where this medium offered us an opportunity to engage consumers or whoever the audience was in a much more relevant manner, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We didn't have to, you know, just stick a static brochure in front of someone. From the start, we were building database-driven websites that could deliver more relevant content. That was the promise, right, for a lot of years. And so that's what we did for our first 7 to 8 years. We were mainly a design build shop. We have our own two Harvard guys with more of dad's money than they knew what to do with, kind of a story. We were working with the NFL, with City Financial, a lot of large banks and associations. But honestly, we had become kind of a sweatshop. And so about 7 years ago, we stopped and we brought in a trusted consultant, and we said, hey, we want to have a greater impact in the work that we're doing. And he helped us kind of whiteboard where we had experience, if not expertise, and showed us that we had this common theme of working with organizations that had this 50-plus constituency. And he turned us on to this phenomenon that is the age wave, and said, look, this group is He was 50 plus himself. He said, look, this group is sorely underserved online. Most digital shops are not going to find this space sexy. And so literally within 6 months, we kind of flipped the switch and said, look, this is what we're solely going to focus on. And so that's been the case. And to date, we are still the only digital marketing shop solely focused on consumers in the second half of life.
Isn't that amazing? It's such a it's an emerging, growing, incredibly lucrative group. And yet it's still a new frontier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
And, but maybe we shouldn't tell anybody that. Let's keep that quiet.
I know. All right. So I was making my notes. I'm like, how much does that I don't really want to share? Because it's really just starting to bear fruit, as I'll share with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and one of the things that I've heard you say is that age is not the biggest factor when you're marketing to older adults online. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, for a variety of reasons. One of them we talk about in the book, and that is, you know, age really is just a number, especially with the boomer generation, mm-hmm. Because they're so diverse. But there are other factors. But the underlying factor is that we take a developmental approach to our work, and that means that we believe, and this isn't something we invented, it's based on the work of Erickson, Young, Maslow, we believe that as human beings we all share some core needs, and what differs is how we satisfy those needs based on our season of life. So we think that that is a much stronger determining factor in terms of how you can meaningfully engage these people. The next thing is that, again, in terms of what makes the boomers in particular very different is more than any generation before and after them, they have more concurrent life events going on. And it's just where we're at in history and the fact that they're so educated, the fact that societal norms have changed. And so that's another factor. Fragmentation in the media, we have 600 in the digital space. We have over 600 million websites that we know of. So, you know, back in the day, you just had three main channels, right? Maybe a few UHF channels.
Wow.
And then the last thing is that our ability to target based on real-time behavior is just so much different now that it almost does make targeting by age kind of silly.
Mm-hmm. I get where you're going with that. It's more about what are you doing at the particular time and what's going to influence your behavior at that particular time.
Yep.
Not how old are you. And, you know, one of the things that I really love about the book is it illustrates some myths and some mistakes that companies are making as they're trying to engage adults that are in the second half of their life. What are some of those I don't want to give away the book, but could you share some of those mistakes that companies are making?
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to. So let's see. A few of them would be targeting this group as a cohort. So we see this quite a bit. So a cohort means they're the boomer generation. At some point, a demographer said, you know, starting at 1946 and going through 64, we're going to call this a generation. And there are some things that they have in common based on when they grew up and what they were exposed to. But it's just a horrible way to target the boomers in particular, but the same mistake can be made with other cohorts as well. And the quick example I like to give here that kind of flies in the face of conventional wisdom is a lot. You see so many marketers try to target them as the Woodstock generation because that's, you know, what they associate them with. And a lot of times it's young people, frankly. And they target them as a Woodstock generation when the average boomer was like 11, 12 years old when Woodstock happened.
Mm-hmm.
Only 13 to 18% of them would consider themselves politically charged, which is another thing that kind of mm-hmm. Breaks down some stereotypes. So a lot of reasons not to do that that's a big mistake. Not meeting them where they're at. It's crazy to me, and boomers themselves, I know that's your audience, 50-plus business mm-hmm. owners. Mm-hmm. Boomers themselves often will make this mistake and be overly aspirational or be overly negative about how they portray their own in their marketing communications. You know, so you've got on the one end of the spectrum, the help I've fallen and can't get up view of life as we're aging. And on the other end, you know, you've got some guy who's, you know, living off of a purple pill and he's surfing and he's got a blonde beauty next to him who's like 50 years younger than him or something. So, mm-hmm. and these extremes just don't connect with our consumers where they're at. the last mistake that we see very, very often, and we're a digital shop, so we're oftentimes working with traditional agencies, with large brands, and it's this desire to really base their marketing creative on focus groups or what is ultimately warped marketing data. Marketing research around our consumers tends to be pretty poor for a lot of reasons we can discuss if you'd like. And focus group data in this real-time internet age is just way too static for the marketplace and oftentimes not reflective of our consumers' true needs, oftentimes because the way those focus groups are being facilitated is kind of with an age bias built in.
Mm-hmm. One of the things,
those are just a few thoughts.
Yeah, one of the things I liked that I saw in the book was that it said, you know, they really don't want to be this whole retrospective kind of remember how things were back in the you know, 60s. They don't want that as much as they want to be appreciated for having survived and made it and still be a youthful 60. They'd rather be,
And that doesn't mean you can't use nostalgia or you know, nostalgic music, you know, to get one's attention, which I consider to be the first base of marketing and advertising. That's important. But then beyond that, you need to meet them where they're at, you know, and help them process their lives where they are now.
Now, so let's talk about digital media and where are the hot trends for the age 50 plus. Boomers out there that are, you know, they're coming into having smartphones and now they're wondering, okay, well, what do I do with this thing, right?
Yep.
The old Seinfeld episode, it's a tip calculator. That doesn't hold water anymore. Now, they understand now that there's a lot they can do with it. Are they going to YouTube? Are they going to iTunes? Or where are they going to get content?
Oh, my. So there are a lot of stats here that would surprise you. They are the females 45 to 55 fastest growing group on Facebook. That wouldn't surprise. I hear that talked about much more often now. Mm-hmm. But that the 50 plus constituency makes up the fastest and largest group on dating sites. That they make some of the largest constituency on some types of gaming sites. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that kind of you know, would surprise people there. As a company, what we do at the heart day in, day out is we're very campaign-oriented. So our clients hire us to either drive traffic to their websites, their web properties, or to help them convert and nurture, engage those audiences. And some of the things that we see there – oh, gosh, Bill, I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, let me throw out something else for you, and that is I've just, you know, been watching this trend towards we were talking about AM radio. It's National Radio Day, but who cares anymore? Unfortunately, AM radio stations are getting sold off. I guess Disney just sold a bunch of them. So now people are starting to choose their own listening material. And now Apple comes out with CarPlay for the 2015 and future cars. And who buys a lot of cars? The age 50 plus consumer, right?
Yep.
So does iTunes stand to take off in the podcasting area because of CarPlay and things like that?
Yeah, it is interesting to see this technology make its way into the cars. We're seeing that with Pandora. So there are so many opportunities to engage that our consumers currently that are kind of thought as vanilla and boring. So email is still a very, very effective tool. But increasingly, our media planners are looking at opportunities like Pandora and Hulu for that very reason. Choice. The ability to choose is very much in the zeitgeist for the boomer. They want to be in control. And I'll just back up a second to finish that last thought. Where you were going with those emerging trends and mobile just in the past 18 months, and it dovetails to this question too, is just huge. So in the lead gen campaigns that we do, mobile has gone from, you know, single digits to probably about 40% of the leads that come in through the work that we do for our clients.
Wow.
Sorry to put a button on that one.
That's huge. You know, and it's a whole new frontier then for the sponsors that have eschewed this mobile technology because 80% of the listeners to podcasts have been under 35 up to now. And now that we've got this emerging new trend of people that they can advertise to. It didn't make much sense to, you know, for healthcare and things like that necessarily for underage 35, but now you've got a whole new demographic that's coming online.
Yep. Yep. And if you've traveled at all, Bill, you certainly see it. It's just crazy. I mean, if you want to just understand that these consumers are using that technology and engaging in those apps and services, just go to an airport or travel.
Right.
You know, it's hard to find an adult 50 plus that doesn't have an iPad in their hand or looking at their smartphone.
Everybody's doing the iPhone prayer.
Yep, exactly.
Well, it's amazing. It's just an emerging, you know, if anybody who's marketing out there, what tips would you give them? What tips or ideas or precautions would you give our listeners?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely a nice segue. I mean, I would think mobile, if not first, not all the time, but think mobile, making sure that you have that experience optimized. Increasingly, even though we're getting, you know, we're seeing bigger screens, the UI design is getting smaller and smaller in terms of the hit areas, and the experience can be very confusing still for a 50-plus adult. Remember, not because they're not smart or because they're not savvy. They created most of this technology, but because it, you know, none of us likes to be overwhelmed, so too much stuff on the screen and so forth. Everybody likes to kind of have their hand held. But also, we do start to have challenges when it comes to the physical, right? Like my wife and I have to hold our phones out a little further these days to read them.
I'm with you.
just our motor skills in terms of being able to, you know, click on a button that's next to five other buttons. So thinking mobile is very, very important. Not thinking that you represent the typical boomer, I think is very, very important. So most of our clients and our main primary contacts are probably boomer age marketers, you know, at these bigger brands. And it's a real mistake. On the one hand, they understand that their generation is very diverse and very rich. And they'll be talking to me about how, you know, we need to, you know, target them all at a very personal level, which we can do now. But then you'll hear them want to build in things based on their likes and preferences. And so that's very, very dangerous. I would avoid that. And then the last thing in terms of, you know, tips or ideas is making sure that, you know, how you engage those consumers considers the whole customer journey. So in .boom, when we talk about this concept of meaningful online engagement, if I really, really dumbed it down and simplified it, it would be about using elements of literature and storytelling to make sure that your engagement with these consumers has a beginning, middle, and end. That's incredibly important.
Yeah, it's a storytelling generation above all others. Maybe nowadays people will buy on a whim, but the storytelling generation really likes to know what's behind the brand, what's going on with this. There's a big trend towards that. And you know, what about the concept of when you're thinking of media, 80% graphic, 20% message, graphic, I should say, and 20% message are, you know, I just saw something that said, you know, the lizard brain that makes the quick decisions out there really, really goes for the graphic, and the message comes in a distant second these days. What do you think about that comment?
Yeah, I would agree with that, maybe for different reasons. So two of the reasons that we really like the predominant use of imagery, and we're big, big, big on content. So we have a lot of content as well, and we don't shy away from long-form copy, so you might find that interesting, and our tests have proven that can be very effective. But there's two things in our research we found. One is the larger the imagery, the more that our consumers are inclined to believe that it's real. That doesn't mean you can take, you know, a cheesy stock photo and make it really big and everybody's going to believe it's real, but it makes it more it makes it feel more real to them. But the other thing is it makes an emotional connection. And so, you know, they used to say in the direct mail days, you had a couple of seconds to make that connection with them before they threw it in the wastebasket. It's been proven now with our consumers, you have a fraction of a second.
Oh, my.
And so we're big proponents of using custom photography. And then above and beyond that, we really like leading with video. Video is very, very strong with our consumers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard that too. It's very interesting. It's a fascinating topic. I could talk to you for hours. Unfortunately, we're running low on time, but tell us a little bit about more about your book and where people can get that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get it on Amazon. I would encourage people to check it out and check out the reviews on Amazon. I think they'd find it interesting. We've even had gerontologists review it and so forth. And so we definitely stand on the shoulders of giants with that. And then, beyond that, I would say feel free to call us too. So we're not looking to get rich off the book. And if we have conversations with people, we're always happy to offer them a complimentary copy as well. So either Amazon or they can reach us, at info@immersionactive.com.
Well, I'd give them my book, but it's so earmarked and marked up, they won't want it. It's a great read. It's a fascinating topic for all of us out here that are marketing to baby boomers and age 50 plus consumers. And it's really something that everybody should take a look at and get to know, because it's great work that you've done there. Thanks for joining us, David. I appreciate it. And I hope we can get deeper on this topic, because I know we can really dig into this one and have some interesting discussions in the future.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
I've been talking with David Weigelt of Immersion Active. Again, the book is called Dot Boom, Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. So go, pick that up, because this is a huge emerging consumer group that's not going away anytime soon. They're starting to get online and get savvy about a lot of things, and it's just going to be a huge wave. I'd like to thank our new affiliate that's just joined us, WPAM in Pennsylvania, and also like to thank Delta Business Services for being a great sponsor for us, and Habitat for Humanity OC, who does great work here in Orange County, and of course, all of the national chapters do as well. They do a lot more than just helping people get back on their feet. They provide community, they provide senses of purpose for people, and give a lot of help to a lot of people. So that's going to do it for our show today. I want to thank you for listening in today, and I hope you've heard something that will help you in some way with your future planning. A big thank you to my guests and to our sponsors, and I'd also like to thank our station engineer, Paul Roberts, who's done his usual outstanding job here at the board today, especially today. He's done a great job. And octalkradio.net for hosting us at their beautiful tech-based studios. Remember, we update content daily, so please visit us often and tell your friends to find us at exitcoachradio.com. We're here to help you, our hero, the private business owner, with tips, ideas, and precautions so that you are well-planned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.